Welcome, friends, to Living the Adventure. I am your radio host, George Runyon, and I'm so glad you have joined us as we study together God's Word. I hope you can go on this journey with me every Sunday at 6:30 here on GOD Radio 1 as we learn how to develop our relationship with the Holy Spirit. Be sure to invite a friend to listen each Sunday at 6:30 p.m. Thank you to all who listen and support these broadcasts in helping defray the financial costs. Your help is very much appreciated. Please drop us a note and let us know you're listening and give us your comments on the program. You can write us at CCM, that's City Church Ministries, P.O. Box 152-388, San Diego, California, 92195. I'll repeat that again at the end of the broadcast. So let's pray and begin today's lesson as we continue this series, Developing Your Relationship with the Holy Spirit. Father, in Jesus' name, we come today boldly to the throne of grace and to obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Father, again, we recognize we are needy. We need the help of the Holy Spirit to enlighten us, to give us inspiration and understanding by revelation of your word and the ability and power to apply it in our everyday life. So we pray for that today as we look at this area of forgive us our debts, even as you have forgiven us. In the name of Jesus, we thank you so much. So beloved, we're going to pick up where we left off last week in Matthew 6:12. Forgive us our debts. We are born as debtors. This view is an offense to many who refuse to accept their fallen condition before God. As an infant, we are innocent, but it is an innocence that comes from a lack of knowledge. As we develop, we become aware of our guilt before the Creator, the beginning point of our relationship with the Father is when we accept our condition and ask for his forgiveness through Jesus Christ. When we are born again through the work of the Holy Spirit, our sins are forgiven and removed. The scripture tells us that he removes our sins as far as the east is from the west, Psalm 103, verse 12. We still have to deal with the challenge of sin, which is in our members, and we need to study Romans 5 to really have a complete understanding of that. Let's take a few moments and just look at Romans 5 and a portion. We won't look at the whole chapter, but I want to pick up in the last part, the death in Adam, life in Christ, starting with chapter 5, verse 12. Let's just read what Paul writes. Therefore, just as though one man sinned, just as through one man sin entered the world and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men, because all sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned, according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam, who is a type of him who was to come. But the free gift is not like the offense. For if the one man's offense many died, much more the grace of God and the gift by that grace of one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. And the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned, for the judgment which came from one offense resulted in condemnation, but the free gift which came from many of offenses resulted in justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned through the one man, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through one Jesus Christ. Therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so, through one man's righteousness, the act of free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience many will be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the sin, that the offense might abound. But where sin abound, grace abounded much more, so that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Wow, what a mouthful Paul has given to us here in Romans 5. I really highly suggest that you go back and study the whole chapter if this catches your attention today. I hope it does. So as we study Romans 5, we get more of a complete understanding of this area of truth, of how sin entered in, but how by the grace of God, righteousness has come, so that each one can be made righteous as we put our faith in him. And this is so wonderful. With the Father's forgiveness, we then receive a responsibility and obligation to forgive the debt of others. We remain debtors made free by the blood of Christ. We are humbled by the fact that the Father loved us in spite of the enmity that existed between him and mankind. When we are filled with the Holy Spirit, we are delighted to have been given power to forgive others their debt toward us. For the individual who is living their life by the leading of the Spirit, unforgiveness ceases to be a problem. Forgiveness of others is at the core of the foundation we have in cleansing of the blood of Christ. Because he has forgiven us, we must forgive others. The scriptures are emphatic about this topic. When we fail to forgive as we have been forgiven, a door is opened for the enemy to attack us. Jesus' cleansing blood is our defense against the devil. But this fact is rooted in our willingness to forgive. If you want a deeper dive into this, go to Matthew 18 for the larger understanding of the importance of forgiveness. Unforgiveness gives the enemy a right to come against us and to open the door for demonic attack. But forgiveness sets us free from that and brings us into the protection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus makes it very clear as he shares in a parable there with his disciples. For the individual who is living their life by the leading of the Spirit, I want to emphasize that, unforgiveness ceases to be a problem. Our life is meant to be led by the leading of the Holy Spirit. That's why we're taking this time in studying a devotional life in the Spirit, because it's the Spirit and the Word that agree. We need both a Christ perspective on the Word of God, and we need the power and fellowship of the Holy Spirit to make these applications that need to be made in our lives. For the individual who's living their life by that leading, unforgiveness ceases to be a problem, as I said. Forgiveness of others is at the core of the foundation we have in the cleansing of the blood of Christ. Let me just insert something here, if I could, for you to meditate on. The church is meant to be the witness of Christ's redemptive work and to draw men to Christ. Each of our lives, we are living stones, the Bible says, built together in him. And as the world looks at the church, many times they just see an institution, they see an organization, they don't see a living organism. And the way we treat one another in the church really hurts our testimony to the world. Where there's racial division, where there is denominational doctrine divisions, it is a bad testimony to the world of what Jesus has actually accomplished in the work and the power of the Holy Spirit. How desperately we need the Spirit in our personal life, in the midst of our relationship in family, in our relationship in the world with others, and our relationship in the body of Christ. We need the power of the Holy Spirit working in us and through us to have that same attitude of forgiveness toward each other as Christ has towards us. Christ does not hold our sins against us, but as the scripture said, as I already recited in Psalm 1:3, he removes our sin as far as the east is from the west. And we need to let the sin of others and the hurt and the abuse of others that we might have experienced in life be separated and and be separated as far as the east is from the west, from our own life. We need to forgive people and release them. This is the key to victorious Christian living. Let me underscore that right here. The key to victorious Christian living is the forgiveness of others, not carrying resentment, not carrying an attitude of hurt and brokenness towards others because they hurt us in some fashion, but to forgive and to release them and to walk in the light, even as he is in the light. This is our Lord Jesus Christ. He is not before the Father burdened down by your sin. He has released you from your sin if you have put your faith in him. And he wants us to grow into that understanding more and more. This will release power and authority in our life to overcome every demonic force that would set itself against us. Just think, if the church was united in this together, if we walked in that kind of a freedom, what kind of authority would we have to disciple nations? We can't disciple nations if we're walking in unforgiveness towards each other, if we're broken by racial divide, because it's contrary to the one new man that God has raised up in Jesus Christ. Boy, I could start preaching right at this point, but I'm not going to, because we want to get to some other information here in the teaching mode. Amen. So let's ask the Holy Spirit to show us areas in our life where we have not yet surrendered to God's rule. Ask forgiveness and commit all he shows you to his authority. Ask him to show you anyone that you need to forgive. Pray for his power to live a life that is above reproach for his glory. Father, we pray that prayer right now in the light of what we're saying here. Holy Spirit, we need you to come and anoint each one of us to walk in this kind of freedom and liberty, not only to know that our own sins are forgiven and released, but to have that power operating on a daily basis to release others in their sin towards us, and any offenses that have come towards us, that we might have the power to name that person and let them be free in Jesus' name. We thank you, God, for that, and that it would be an opportunity to bear witness of your reconciliating life that dwells within each one of us that have been converted and walk with you. And then he goes on in Matthew 6:12, and he says that we have forgive us in the same way we have forgiven the debts of others. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. The power to forgive is the one of the greatest gifts the Father has given to his children. Forgiveness is a lifestyle that we grow into while walking with the Lord. Offenses are a regular part of life. Forgiveness is an ebb and flow that we learn how to practice. As the Father consistently forgives us, so we are to forgive others in the same manner. Those that sin against us, we have been given the power to forgive by his indwelling spirit. And again, I mentioned Matthew 18:15-35. Let's just look at that, because that really zeroes in on this area. It contains some of the most powerful passages in all of Scripture. The whole chapter basically deals with the subject of offenses. Here is a summation of what Jesus taught. If your brother sins against you, go to him alone and confront him. If he listens, you have won your brother. If he does not listen to you, take one or two others. If he refuses to listen, then tell the church. If he refuses to listen to the church, let him be to you as a sinner. This led Peter to ask, how often should one forgive? Jesus clearly teaches us that forgiveness is the unforgiving, teaches us the parable of the unforgiving servant and the result of unforgiveness. He was handed over to the tormentors. Jesus uses some very strong language when he says, my heavenly Father will also do the same to you if each of you does not forgive his brother from your heart, Matthew 18:35. This implies that Satan, our enemy, is able to imprison and torment those who do not forgive. Forgiving others is the key to real victory in the Christian life. Through many years of ministry, I have learned how forgiveness is at the root of most problems in an individual's life. It is one of the greatest avenues for the enemy's access to our lives. Ask the Father, is there anyone I have not forgiven? If so, ask for grace and power to forgive them. Yield to the Holy Spirit and be filled with the following grace. For those who have hurt you or wronged you in any way, experience the liberty of walking in true forgiveness as a son and daughter of God. Now, let me just share from personal experience that I find that most of the time when people are struggling with hurt and resentment and find it very difficult to forgive, it can be traced back many times to foundations in their early life, in their family life, maybe their resentment concerning a mother or a father is still holding on to them, and the enemy has not been able to let them go free because of that resentment. But when they identify the unforgiveness that they have toward a parent, and they renounce that and access God's power in the Holy Spirit to forgive that parent, or maybe it's a sibling, or maybe it was a teacher, or somebody else that was close in their life, and they're growing up. Many of these things have gotten locked in our youth, in our childhood. And so we need to go back and let the Holy Spirit take us back on a trip through our childhood and examine, is there anybody that you're holding anything against? Is there anybody that has done you wrong and that has hardened your heart? And ask the power of God to help you to release and forgive that person, even as the Father has forgiven you. It will set you free. It will give you the ability to forgive others and to walk in the freedom that Jesus has purchased for us. You won't be bound by this unforgiving spirit. And so we need to deal with this area, remembering those that offended you. Matthew chapter 5 also talks about this. Verse 24, if you are presenting your offering at the altar and there remember your brother has something against you, leave your offering there before the altar and go first to be reconciled to your brother. Then come and present your offering before the Lord. Amen. I'll share you a story here in just a moment. Wow, Jesus is raising all religious activity to a new level of personal reconciliation. It all began with the heart of God. He became one of us in the person of Christ Jesus, so he would be able to reconcile the world to himself. He did this while we were still in our trespasses and sins. This is the reason the Father puts such a high priority on reconciliation and forgiveness. I'll tell you a quick story. I was called to the ministry in 1960, and I was on my way to that purpose of God, and I was in a church where I was a leader. I was assistant pastor, and everybody knew I was going to be the pastor of that church when my senior pastor stepped down and because of traveling. And that didn't happen. He put somebody else in instead of me. And I had an opportunity to really become resentful and have unforgiveness. I even had another pastor come to me. Why don't you come to our church where something's really going on? He was after the gift in my life, but he wasn't concerned about me personally. God showed me that. And I didn't listen. I did not run away from the situation. I sought to work with the situation, and then God opened the door for me to take a church out in the Spring Valley area out of my class that I was teaching in a Bible college. A pastor was stepping down, and he wanted to let the church go, and he invited me to be the one to take over the church. So here was this opportunity. I was so excited, and I prayed about it, and the Lord gave me four witnesses that this was the Lord. And so we entered into that. And then I came to a realization one day that my brother, who had been put in as the pastor of that little church, who was struggling after I left, and that I had not been mindful of him. I had not been thoughtful of him. And that I left out of the excitement of this invitation, and I didn't leave correctly. So I went back to my brother, and I asked his forgiveness for not being more considerate of his feelings, how this hurt him, how he struggled in the fact that I had left, and he was left alone to try to pastor this church. I had not thought about those things. I was thinking about my new assignment, and I wasn't trying to be selfish, but that's the way it was in the natural. But God finally brought it to my attention, and I realized I had to go get it right when I was convicted out of Matthew 5 here. And I went back to Alan. His name was Alan, and I asked him, I said, Alan, I didn't leave you correctly. I didn't take this new assignment in a proper way. I was inconsiderate of your feelings, and I left you hurt and wounded. And so you have a resentment against me, and I want to ask your forgiveness that I did that to you. And you know what? He forgave me, and he acknowledged what I was saying was true. And he forgave me. And later on in life, we again became best of friends. He was very supportive of our ministry. And God gave him a station in life and set him free from what he wasn't actually called to do. But he was a precious brother and served the Lord beautifully in so many ways. I don't have time to get into. In the area of prayer, in the area of missions, he was just a tremendous brother and became a dear prayer partner of mine and prayed for me consistently. And we had some beautiful fellowship before he passed away in later on in life. That comes to my mind as I'm sharing this story with you. Matthew 18, we see how important it is to forgive any that have sinned against us. And here in Matthew 5, Jesus makes it clear that we must first become right with any person holding an offense toward us before our offering is accepted by God. The Father has given each believer his nature of reconciliation through the power of the Holy Spirit. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, the scriptures tell us there in 2 Corinthians 5:19. Not counting their trespasses against them. And he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. If we can't carry that word of reconciliation, if we haven't gotten reconciled with people that have ought against us. The letters of the apostles are filled with admonitions concerning relationships among the believers. Here are a few examples. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor, Romans 12:10-11. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ also has forgiven us, Ephesians 4:32-5:1. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed, James 5:16. As believers, we are to walk out the reconciliation God has given us by being reconciled to one another in the fear of God, whether it be forgiving another their offense toward us or asking forgiveness of one against whom we have sinned. Father, I thank you for extending your reconciling love to my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit to walk in the power of reconciliation. Help me to fulfill your will to be a minister of reconciliation in this world. Father, I pray that for the listening audience, your people that are tuned in tonight, that we will be that instrument in your hand of reconciliation to a lost and broken world, to families that have been torn apart because of sin, because of unforgiveness. Lord, I pray for the power of Christ to be released in the body of Christ in this area of reconciliation. Forgive us for our insensitivity, Father. Help us to grow in the grace and the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' precious name. I hope you have been tracking with us today. I hope this has been helpful. Next week, we'll talk about the whole area of temptation. Let not temptation overcome me. Thank you for tuning in. Be sure to write us again. I'm encouraging you to drop us a line at CCM, P.O. Box 152-388, San Diego, California, 92195. And encourage us. Let us know what the broadcast means. Is this helping you? I trust that it is. And we're not here to take the place of your church. We're here to be a supplement in your life. In the areas that God has assigned us to, He's given me a vision for the whole church, not just a congregation, but the church of the Lord in this city of San Diego. And you're included in that. God bless you. Look forward to being with you again next week. Have a great week, and remember to walk with your King. In Jesus' name, amen.